Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve a mighty God, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He loves every one of us, all of His people. He loves them. Jesus taught a parable about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And those that were foolish, they were not ready when the bridegroom came. The 5 wise virgins did something different. They had oil in their lamp. They had faith in their heart. See, our faith attaches us to salvation. That's why we're saved. The blood of Jesus washed away our sin, but our faith activates our faith. We're counting righteousness because of our faith. And we fulfill the moral law because of our love. We fulfill the ceremonial law when we believed on Jesus. While we're loving God and heaven is pulling for us, the angels rejoice. But when we fill our heart with the knowledge of God, with the Word of God, then we become fortified. Christ is formed in us. Now all the virgins had, all 10 had the Word in their heart. But those that were looking for the Lord trimmed their lamps. They didn't waste the Word that was in their heart. And the Lord taught me to do that. I remember every time I had to preach, I would get excited because I knew God would give me a message. And those who listen to me for a long time, you know what I'm going to say. I didn't know what to do, so I depended on the Lord. I didn't even want to be a preacher because I didn't know what to do. But when I saw that the Lord would give me what to say, that's when I became interested in ministry. I was going to do it. I was reluctant. I was reluctantly obeying God until He gave me my first message. And when He gave me the message, that's when I got interested. And this, every time He give me something and confirm it through other men of God, I get excited all over, just like it just happened the first time. I love it. I'm reminded that God is with us. And I didn't hear from the Lord much in those days. This was before I drew near and filled my heart with His Word, like I did in the last 35 years. But in those days, when I knew if somebody invited me to minister, God was going to give me a message. And I got excited because I knew I was going to hear from the Lord. Well, the Lord, sometimes He'd give me a message and somebody would invite me. Sometimes people would invite me to preach and then He'd give me a message. Because in those days, churches tried to help out people that were called to the ministry. And they would, they would invite you to minister. They were, they were wise. Nevertheless, when that happened, I would hear from the Lord. And then to me, it would be like a holiday because I just heard something from the Lord. I got a word from the Lord. It was exciting to me. And people, but it would be, weeks would go by. They may invite me, but the day that I minister the word, maybe 2 to 3 weeks later, sometimes even a month away. Well, by the time it was the time for me to preach the message, I had to basically read my notes to do it. And this went on for years. Now, when God freshly gave it to me, it was like a holiday. But it's like a kid at Christmas anticipating the holidays. you're out of school, you're going to get something you wanted, or you're going to be able to spend time with your family and cousins you don't normally see, or whatever. It's exciting for many reasons. And I grew up in a good home. I had, you know, I used to look forward to the holidays. And I understand some people, they may not be a good reference. They may not have had the same situations. But anything that you would expect, something that you desire to happen, that's how it was. Nevertheless, when the day would come, it's like I was bone dry. All I remembered was what God said, but it wasn't burning in my heart like it did at first. So after about two and a half, three years of going through this, one day I had started drawing near to the Lord, and He started talking to me. And I prayed earnestly. I said, "Lord, when you give me a message, I feel like a kid at Christmas." Then 3 weeks later, I have to read the notes and try to remember what you said. He said, "The enemy has been siphoning the word out of your heart." And my eyes were open. I said, "Oh, now I know what to do." Now, this was before he told me to read. He told me to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. He gave me a prescription back in 1990. But before that, in the 80s, when this was happening, I understood that reference. The enemy was siphoning the word out of my heart. Now, sometimes as mechanics, we have to siphon gas, and what you do to siphon gas, you put back then, before the cars had baffles, you could put the hose down deep in the tank, and you could suck it with a suction device, or you could do it with your mouth, but you might get a mouthful of gas. And once it gets over the hump, it'll fill up a jug, it'll run all the gas out of the tank, because the weight of the fuel would push the, once it gets over the tip of the hose and it will come down, it's like the weight of the fuel will pop it, and then the weight of the fuel going out of the hose will suck the rest of it out, as long as the hose is lower than the fuel in the tank. Anybody know how siphoning works? That's how it works. You have to have the end of the hose lower than the bottom of the tank, and it will suck it till there's nothing but air. Well, when I was going to preach, these are the things that would occur. Anybody that was weak would get upset. If I fix the car, I might get the wrong part. And some people wouldn't pay me all my money. And anything that could be a distraction would be a distraction. Women would flirt. Anything that could go wrong would go wrong. People would argue that normally don't. Anything would happen. Things would happen. And by the time I would have to do warfare, because it was getting close to the day that I would preach, and I had to do warfare. And I knew it was just the enemy. By the time I had to preach, I was doing all that warfare, going through all the trouble I had to go through. It drained my heart. And one day I read a scripture. And I think it was Hosea. He said, whoredoms, wine, and new wine take away the heart. Well, any form of wrong, anything that's idolatry, temptation, those kind of things, they absorb the word out of you. Frustrations, people that don't treat you right, don't keep their word. People that get easily offended against you, people that doubt you, people that are fearful for you. All these kind of offenses come about. See, sometimes people they doubt your ability, and whatever's in the heart will come out of the mouth, and they will become discouragement. Sometimes your loved ones can doubt you or not believe in you. Sometimes pastors don't. Sometimes people in church don't. They don't expect you to succeed. And they act, you know, they doubt your ability. They doubt against you. Doubt is always against you. Jesus is for you. Doubt is anti-Christ. Doubt is anti-God. Doubt is a disabler. So if people don't believe in you, you have to believe in what God is doing in you. You have to believe on Christ as the author and finisher of your faith, and not give in to the doubts of others or your own doubts. All these things are offenses. And Jesus said offenses will come. And when you're a quiet person, it's easy for people to doubt against you. So I had that problem going on. Not blaming others, but I'm blaming the enemy. The enemy will portray you a certain way in the minds of others. And if it gets in their heart, they'll speak it. So I had a lot of problems in those days with things that, like that. And some people were slick. They tried to get you to do fix their car. And then after you fix it, then they try to act like they don't have the money when they agreed to pay you a certain amount. Sometimes they act like they didn't have it. And I used to fix the car at their houses. And my pastor said, you know, the problem is you don't have the car in your possession that's at their house. And when you fix the car, the pressure's off. And then, and good people would pay me. Some people were, they told me they didn't have enough money, but I would fix, once I began fixing the car, I'd fix things, and sometimes I'd fix things that I knew they needed. Because they were barely making it. You know, I didn't mind helping people, but don't lie to me, you know. But I had all those things happen, and I had to deal with it. You know, I had a wonderful childhood, but my adult life was terrible. And there's another reason for that. I come from a good home, and I, you know, to the pure, everybody's pure. To the forward, everybody's forward. And that's one problem. People think that you're just like they are. People that are prone to get over, they think you're trying to get over on them. They're more suspicious of others. And people that appear there, they don't watch, they don't protect themselves enough like me. I didn't think ahead in those areas. So people could tell that you care about them, and some people are wolves. They'll try to take advantage of them. Then, knowing what Jesus said, I had to forgive these folks. I couldn't afford to get in strife. So I had to learn to forgive. And then I had to make money. If I broke something, I had to go fix another car to come back and make this right. If something was my fault, some days I would break something. Then I had to go and fix a car to make money, come back and fix what I broke. And at the end of the day, I made zero. Now this is true. All this happened. I'm just painting you a picture. And I learned, I always learned. I learned to dig deep by going through all these things. I kept counting on the Lord. I asked for wisdom and knowledge. And he always helped me out. And I always paid tithes. I always made it. Wasn't easy, but I did. So by the time I'm going to preach a message, I'm drained because of all that kind of stuff. And then the Lord would give me a good message, and I'd be so happy. When I finally preached that message, I'm drained again because I just preached the little word I had in my heart. And so, after the Lord told me, the enemy was siphoning the word out of my heart, every day I would read the notes and meditate on what God said to keep it alive. And I would study scriptures about it. And this went on for about a year. You see, I got called in 87. In 1990, the Lord told me to study scriptures. I used to study Bible study scriptures to make my points. You know, or anything I was curious about, or to get out of trouble, I would find scriptures and study them. Sometimes I read one chapter with it. So that wasn't a lot of word in me. That was where I was. Years ago, I studied what Jesus said, and I had a foundation. I was committed. I had enough word to be committed, but I didn't have enough word in me to thrive. But when I preached, it was good. And then as it got better and more in depth, then I noticed that people get jealous against you. If you do just enough, then they'll invite you back. But if you do too good, they won't invite you back. I've learned that. I can tell you all kind of stories about it. I don't like to do that, but that's what happened. Satan was fighting. I saw how Satan fought at every angle. But when I learned to protect what I had, I found out. I remember a message that Reverend Rice taught me years ago. Either I was saved, or I had just gotten saved, or just before I got saved. He taught a wonderful message about how you don't have to worry. That helped me, because worry reduces. I found out later that worry reduces the strength you already attained. Whatever you have, if you worry, you're absorbing the word out of you. When the Lord gave me definitions about words that we commonly use in Christendom, saying worry is a reducer. Doubt is a disabler. Fear is a driver. It drives you into more foolishness. It drives you to do what you fear. And fear has no arms and legs. It causes you to destroy yourself. That's another topic for another day, but these are some just examples when people act on their fear. Fear is it's a belief. And when you act on it, it's just like faith takes you forward in the Lord. Fear takes you from the Lord. Job said, "What I greatly feared has come upon me." Now the Lord was working with me also. But I learned to manage the word in my heart. I learned to speak his word diligently and to grow. I was more motivated to grow up than to receive possessions. I hardly used my faith to acquire things. I did, but not much. Most of the time I'd use my faith to acquire things for something that I broke, or pay somebody I owe, pay my bills. I used my faith to grow up. And I asked the Lord to help me with character problems and weaknesses and things that, problems that I had. See, if you win the war within, the war without is a cakewalk. And I didn't fall in those days. I thought I was going to actually fall, but I didn't. God blessed me. And I knew that the enemy would kill me if I did, if I gave in to stupid temptation. Nevertheless, I made it by the grace of God. Some people would say by the hair of my chin, but no, it was by the grace of God. But I learned to feel, when he told me to feel my, to study those chapters, what happened is I filled my heart with the word, and I got a greater understanding because I was reading chapters instead of scriptures, through all this, he taught me to love people. From 1987, spring of 1987, he taught me to love people. Now, my heart was half empty. I mean, I didn't have enough word in my heart to thrive in life. But he was teaching me about love. And as he did, I had more insight. And then, around 89, I learned about authority. I knew about authority, but I learned it. I had revelation because I listened to Kenneth Hagin's series on authority.
And then the gunfights broke out, and I always won. But it was all the way to 1990 when I started studying chapters. And that's when I really, everything was enhanced in me, when I filled my heart with the word. Well, the wise virgins, they fill their heart with the word, and the foolish virgins don't. They're people of God. They're not idolaters. They're not even in sin. But what's about to happen, the Lord, he told me several times for the last month, several times, almost every day, more than once a day, he said, those that don't have the word in their heart won't make it. They're not going to survive what's about. Sometimes you can have enough word in you to survive unless something happens. Something's about to happen. War is about to break out. People are going to see things they never saw before. And it's going to challenge the word that's in them, just like I was challenged as a young man of God. So take these things seriously. Just don't worry about what you don't have. Don't focus on what things look like. Focus on the Lord. Fill your heart with the word. Get a pictorial of who Jesus is. Get a revelation of who he is and go forward. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, and God loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.